Today, what I want to do is I want to kind of talk about refreshing others with the good news of the resurrection. Because that is who the church is to be. We're to refresh those around us. But if we're going to refresh those around us, that means we have to keep a fresh sense of awe and wonder of who God is and who Jesus is. How many of you know it's very easy to make the resurrection of Jesus and what Jesus has done in our lives just kind of commonplace? And really, God don't want a position of being just common in your life. He's an uncommon God, and he does miraculous things, and he wants you and me to live with a sense of awe and wonder so those around us are attracted to the amazing God who is at work in our life. And today we're going to talk about having that awe and wonder, but the aim of this message is that you will leave here this weekend living valorous, unafraid. Unafraid and bold and brave, and go out of here and share the good news of who Jesus is and share the goodness of God with all those around you in spite of what others may oftentimes think. Because if you have truly been transformed, touched by the resurrection, it begins to do something remarkable in your life. And I just want to remind you of that today, and I want to encourage you in your faith that you have in a resurrected Jesus. How many of you are thankful that Jesus resurrected from a grave? Come on. The wisdom book, the book of Proverbs, says this in Proverbs 11:25. It says, "The generous will prosper." Anybody prospering up in this house today? Come on. "The generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed." In other words, when you let it flow in you and flow out of you, God keeps letting it flow in you. Come on, somebody. And so I'm encouraging you to let it flow out of you. Let the goodness of God flow out of you. Be refreshed by God, but don't just bottle it up. Let it begin to flow out of you and touch other people's life. Again, it's great to be blessed. Come on. We're blessed people. And God says we're blessed to be a blessing. In other words, we're to share who he is and begin to reflect that to the world around us. Psalm 34, verses 9 and 10 reads this way. It says, "Worship in awe and wonder." Come on, somebody. Worship Jesus with awe and wonder. All you have been made holy, all of you have been set apart by the goodness of God. For all who fear him will feast with plenty. It goes on to say, even the strong and the wealthy, they grow weak and hungry. Come on. The strong, like me, big and strong. Come on, the wealthy like you, come on. It says they grow weak and hungry. So oftentimes people do grow weak and hungry. We all understand what that means. But those who passionately pursue the Lord will never lack any good thing. My friends, that is the word of God. That is a song written from the Psalms to your heart and my heart. Though it is meant for the Hebrew people in that day and age, I want you to begin to claim those verses today, because what those verses do is help us understand that if we're really going to refresh others, get this good news about Jesus out around the world, we first must be refreshed. And we will always be refreshed if we're truly standing in the gap and being who God has called us to be as a people. So let's talk about what it means to worship with awe and wonder. And not with a sad heart, but with an expected heart. See, God wants our soul to be refreshed. The resurrection of Christ, Easter weekend, is all about refreshment. It's just a reminder to us 2,000 years after the resurrection of what it means to be refreshed in the goodness of who God is. And we need to begin to share this resurrection as we have been refreshed by the good news of the resurrection. In other words, we have been forgiven and we live expectant. See, if you've been forgiven by the cross of Christ and the resurrection, you live with an expectation. You live with expectancy that God's not finished yet. You live with an expectancy that, you know what, he is going to make everything new. All things new, as the scriptures say it. God is not a God of annihilation. God is a God to take the goodness of who he is, and he is renewing that. He is doing new things. He is building newness in humanity. He gives you a new heart, a new spirit. He comes and puts the Holy Spirit in you to make your spirit come alive so you can expect good things and new things in a world that is decaying and falling apart. See, that's the sense of hope that God wants you to live with. Not hoping next week, not hoping a new bank account, not hoping a new relationship. He wants you to live. Nothing wrong with having hope in those things, but the hope God wants you to have is that he's a God who will make everything right in a due season. He's making all things new, my friends. And again, whatever goodness you have experienced in this life, it is just a drop in the bucket to what will be. I want to paint a clear picture. You're not going to just go to heaven and sing in a heavenly choir. That's not what my Bible teaches. My Bible teaches that Jesus is going to make a new heaven and a new earth. And he is going to make all things new. And that newness is going to be beyond our expectation. And my friends, you need to live with a sense of awe and wonder. Nothing is lost. Slap your neighbor and say, nothing is lost. In the kingdom of God. Nothing is lost in the kingdom of God. See, there's people sitting right in here that have lost a loved one from their vantage point this past year. But if you have hope in the kingdom to come, the kingdom of God, then you realize that nothing is lost because you begin to understand that God is renewing things and he is making things greater. He is rising things up. And though you may miss something right now, I want you to know that no good thing of God is lost in what he is doing. He is a God of redemption. He is a God of salvation. Live with a sense of awe and wonder all your days here on this earth. You have your Bibles today. The teaching passage is going to come from Matthew chapter 26, a lady who worshiped with awe and wonder. Matthew 26, verses 1 through 13. This is right before Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross, the thing we're going to basically celebrate next Good Friday. And then he's going to resurrect 3 days later on Sunday, and we're going to celebrate that next weekend, Easter weekend. But this is right before he goes to the cross, the week before he goes to the cross, and Jesus is hanging out with his followers, and he's teaching them some things about what is getting ready to happen. He has just talked to them in Matthew 25 about the kingdom to come and what all that means, and he wants them to have hope in the future. He wants them to live life here with a sense of awe and wonder and hope in what is to come. Then he goes and he sits in the room with his disciples, and this is the passage that we pick up today. When Jesus had finished saying all these things about basically the newness of what God is doing, the Bible says he said to his disciples, as you know, Passover begins in 2 days, and the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified. Now, if you're sitting in the room, you're like, what in the heck does that mean? You know, in this particular room. However, you can see this went right over their heads, because let's keep reading. The Bible says, at that time, the leading priests and the elders were meeting at the residence of Caiaphas, the high priest, plotting how to capture Jesus secretly and kill him. But not during the Passover celebration, they agreed, or the people may riot. In other words, there's some people who like Jesus and others who probably don't. Meanwhile, Jesus was in Bethany at the home of Simon, a man who had previously had leprosy. While he was eating, a woman came in with a beautiful alabaster jar of expensive perfume, and she poured it over his head. She broke open the jar of this expensive perfume and poured it over his head. The disciples, who Jesus had just announced that he was going to be crucified, the Bible says the disciples, they were indignant when they saw this woman's act. And this was their comment: what a waste. What a waste. You just poured an expensive jar of perfume. And if you study this passage, it says the jar of perfume in that day was worth a year's worth of wages. And she poured it out, and the disciples, the ones who were following Jesus around, the ones he had just taught about making all things new, the ones that he just told, I'm going to be crucified, this woman barges into the room, and she breaks open this jar. She begins to worship Jesus. She pours out this jar of perfume over his head, and that day it would be known as an anointing, basically setting a person apart for the task that they were designed to be. And she pours this jar, and they say, what a waste. What a waste. It could have been sold for a high price and the money given to the poor, is what they said. I mean, why'd you waste your $50,000 income that you made last year? You could have took at least some of that money. I mean, maybe it was 10% of it. Maybe it was 20, 30, 40. You could have took some of that money and gave it to the poor and helped some people out. But you were wasteful. You used it on advancing Jesus to do what he came to do. What a waste. What a waste. I wonder if anybody's ever told you what you're doing because you're extravagantly spending on advancing Jesus to do what he came to do. And they looked at you and said, what a waste. You mean that guy gives 50% of his income to the local church to advance Jesus to do what he came to do? What a waste. You know what else he could do with that money? He could solve maybe a problem and help all the poor people. And as a matter of fact, Jesus did say that we are to help poor people with our money. But these disciples, they couldn't see the full picture yet. And I want you to pay close attention to what Jesus says. But Jesus, aware of this, he replied, why do you criticize this woman for doing such a good thing to me? You will always have the poor among you. There'll be always opportunity to help them, okay? But you will not always have me. She has poured this perfume out to prepare my body for burial. Because I just told you guys five sentences ago that I was going to be crucified. And she came in and she worshiped because she understands me as the solution to the world's problem. And she's not just seeing the problems in the world. I wonder how many of you are just seeing the problems in the world, human trafficking, broken relationships, the poor among us, the sick, the corruption, and we're just seeing the problems in the world, the education systems, but we're failing to see the solution to every world problem because we're so focused on the problem itself. And then Jesus goes on to say this, I tell you the truth. He said this to those disciples. Wherever the good news is preached, the good news is God came to earth. He gave his life on a cross so human beings who have sinned could make their way back to him. He resurrected from a grave to help us understand that nothing will be lost. And he is the firstborn of all things that are being made new. And he says, wherever this good news is preached throughout the world, this woman's deeds will be remembered and discussed. So I oftentimes feel it to be necessary to discuss this woman's deed. Because Jesus says, wherever the good news is preached, and by the way, we love to preach the good news here at Barefoot Church. Come on, Barefoot Church. Valorous Church, come on somebody. Did you mess up last weekend, Pastor Richard? We love to preach the good news here at Valorous Church, and you know, the reality of it is this woman's story needs to be discussed. Because if we're truly, as a congregation and a church, going to preach and share the good news of Jesus, we need to be refreshed in our soul about who Jesus really is. In other words, a sense of awe and wonder needs to be brought back to us. How many of you know we get to come and gather like this? We don't have to come. Now, some people feel like they have to come to church, but that's the wrong attitude towards who Christ is and what he's done in your heart and in your life and in your soul. If he's truly refreshed your soul, you don't have to come. You get to come because you get to serve. You get to be a part. You get to pour out the anointing. See, anointing simply means something you have been set apart to be and do. In other words, you know what? God has anointed me, he's anointed you if you're a Christ follower to be a part of something. It's called the local church. And he's anointed you to fit in your role and do it well. This woman's anointing Jesus with her perfume, expensive perfume, by the way. She's pouring it over his head, anointing him because he just said, you know what, I got to get buried. But she began to understand some way in her mindset where she was that day. But the disciples couldn't quite grasp all of this. Somehow she knew that even though he was going to be buried, that he was also going to defeat death and rise again. And so what she was doing was she was basically anointing him, believing what he said, and saying, you know what? I'm setting you apart for your burial because I am about advancing who you are in the world. Church, we live on the other side of the cross, the resurrection, and the ascension of Christ. We are not in the place and space that woman was at that time, but she was in that place, and she lived with a sense of awe and wonder at who Jesus is. Now, do you live with a sense of awe and wonder of who Jesus is after the ascension of Christ with an expectation he is going to come back and do exactly what he says he's going to do? And you live in this world with a sense of awe and wonder. See, it's about advancing the good news of who Jesus is to all those around us. This woman was preparing Jesus to do what he came to do. And again, she was just advancing the good news. And that's the call on your life. Advance the good news. Advance the good news where you are and how God has designed you. And in order to do that, you have to continually look into the heart of God, the heart of Jesus, and begin to hang on to who he really is and have hope that he's going to do what he says he's going to do. He's not finished. Oh, yeah, I know, tetelestai. For all of us biblical people, that means it is finished, paid in full at the cross. You know what? Sin was paid for at the cross, but God wasn't finished doing what he's going to do because he is coming back and he is making all things new and he is going to do what he says he's going to do. The Bible says he sits right now, waiting for every enemy to be placed under his feet. And there's enemies in the world. They come after your mind. And they come after your soul and they come after my soul. But that enemy can't defeat your soul if you hang on to hope in who Christ Jesus is. Look at me. Death will strike. But our hope is resting beyond death itself. As one of the New Testament writers said, "O death, where is your sting? Because my hope is in a resurrected Christ who sits on a throne waiting to come back as all of these enemies are being put under his feet. Don't you live afraid. Live with a sense of awe and wonder of who Jesus is. And my friends, if we're gonna do this, I wrote this down, you may wanna write it down too. I don't see nobody getting out their iPhone. Notepads. But don't make Jesus too common. He ain't your homeboy. And yes, he is your friend, but he's also the creator of the universe. Do you have an awe and wonder of who he is? He's in a position over you, not just beside you. He's your God. Worship him. Respect him. Honor him. Have a sense of reverence about you when you come into the presence of Almighty God. And believe that, you know what, without him, you are absolutely nothing. Without the power, you know, we've made Jesus way too common in our day in society. And though he was a man, he was in the flesh. You need to keep in mind, he was God in the flesh. And what he did for you and he did for me because you couldn't do it for yourself. You couldn't fight the battle, Paul. He had to fight it for you. And see, some of us have treated Jesus way too common. He was a warrior. He was a warrior for the souls of humanity. And my friends, I want you to understand today, he stood when nobody else would stand because he could see where you could be and not where you are. Don't you ever, never treat Jesus as too common anymore. See, the problem with these disciples, the difference between them and this woman was they had begun to treat him way too common. They'd gotten way too used to Jesus. You know, Jesus said something remarkable one time. He says, a prophet is not honored in his hometown. What does that mean? That simply means that sometimes, you know what? God can be doing some incredible, incredible things, but you can get so close to who they are, you forget who they are. You forget to respect them for who they are. It happens in relationships all the time, doesn't it? I mean, a person will be a person's boss, but all of a sudden that boss becomes their friend, and when they become their friend, they lose sight of them being their boss because they make them too common. They don't forget their boss gave them the position in the first place. They don't forget that without that boss, they didn't even deserve the position or would get the position. But the reality of it is that boss becomes their friend. We make them too common. They become our homeboy. What's up, man? And I get it. We're all human beings. We're all created in God's image, but what I'm trying to do is draw a parallel to you and me to help you understand that sometimes in our casual society, we make Jesus way too casual. Jesus wasn't casual to this lady. She came in and busted open a jar of expensive perfume. A year's worth of wages and poured it over his head. While everybody else in the room saying it's a waste, she's saying, no, it's an investment. It's an investment because I recognize he is the solution to the world's problem. And you see it as a waste because all you're doing is looking at one world problem. We could have given all this money to the poor, and nothing wrong with giving money to the poor. We as a church give money to the poor. Everybody should give money to the poor, help people out that are lesser than you. It's a command that God has given us so that we can help them understand the good news. But here, they're drawing an analogy. You know what? You shouldn't worship God this way. That's wasteful because they couldn't see beyond who he was in that particular place and space. He came from heaven to earth. He was a man who put on flesh, but he came for us, and he's God in the flesh. And she had great respect that he was going to be the solution to the world's problem, and he wasn't just a world problem, or he wasn't just here to solve a world problem. He was the solution to the sin of all humanity. See, until you recognize yourself as a sinner, in need of a savior, then Jesus will never, ever, you know, be this sense of awe and wonder. I don't know about you, but I know I could never have connected to God without a savior named Jesus. Because I'm a pretty good person. But I'm not good enough. And I recognize that when I stand before an all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere at one time God. I do a lot of right things, but I'm not righteous. I'm only righteous because he first became my righteousness and gave his life on a cross. I do a lot for the kingdom here. But the only reason I do a lot for the kingdom here is because the king first came and did something for me. I'll never lose my sense of awe and wonder of who this King Jesus is. And so I'm encouraging you today to don't just treat him as common. He is uncommon. And we need to keep him in that rightful place. Number two is this. If you want to keep a sense of awe and wonder, quit worrying about what everybody else thinks. Matthew 26, the disciples were indignant when they saw this. What a waste, they said. It could have been sold for a high price and the money given to the poor. Now, I'm going to kind of step into this passage a minute because there's a lot of room for your imagination to wander around. That's what mine does when I read. I want to get in the room. I want to get in the space. But can you imagine when this lady busted open this expensive jar? She pulled out her wallet and said, man, here's $50,000 cash. She starts just sprinkling it over the head of Jesus. I'm sure those guys sitting around like, whoa, 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 what are you doing? And they're jumping up like, don't pour it all out. At least keep some of it. This lady just keeps pouring. She ain't worried about what they think. And by the way, in that culture, she wasn't even supposed to be in the room, but she barged in anyway. The reason she barged in because she had a sense of awe and wonder of who Jesus was. In other words, Jesus somehow or another had touched her life in such a way she couldn't lose a sense of awe and wonder. And though the disciples, those buddies of his, so to say, those following around, those students, you know, they were walking around with him, hanging out, you know, talking to Jesus. Jesus was discipling them. What I mean by that is he was trying to get them out of their old self into the new self. And he was working with them in a powerful way. But they were hard-headed. And Jesus was like, why y'all criticize her? Which we've been walking around almost 3 years and she got it, but you didn't. See, again, I'm just encouraging us to get it. That don't mean you have to go home and pour out your Chanel number 5 or whatever it is. I don't even know what expensive perfume is anymore. I think it's all pretty expensive. Inflation. Just joke. But the reality of it is this, is man, we gotta have a heart that doesn't put Jesus in too common a place and we're willing to step through the barriers sometimes and worship him in the way he should be worshiped so we can be refreshed and we can refresh others. I'm a firm believer, if you let it flow in and you let it flow out, God will never stop dumping it in. Live with an open heart and an open hand. And I'm just encouraging you in this. You don't have to be selfish. See, these guys were selfish. They were like, hey, lady, you're wasteful. They didn't have an open heart. Man, do you know what you could have done with that? And again, her heart was, it wasn't about what she was given. It was the heart she was given it with. I'm bringing all I have because I understand he's the solution to the world's problem. I'm pouring it out over his head because I live with a sense of awe and wonder. And the last thing I wrote down about this, because I believe we can walk out of here living with a sense of awe and wonder, not putting Jesus in too common of a place, but making him an uncommon God that has saved our soul. And we can refresh people with the resurrection. If we seize the moment. See, Easter is one of those moments. Every year comes 365 days. Every 365 days, Easter weekend comes. It's the weekend that we celebrate the resurrection. I know our culture celebrates, chocolate bunnies and Easter eggs. And I get all that. We just leverage that. Don't get so caught up in all that. Leverage it. Leverage it to announce the goodness of the resurrection. I ain't gonna celebrate no chocolate bunny, though I like them. I'll bite their ears off. But I'm gonna seize the moment, the opportunity to help people get the goodness of the resurrection that has refreshed my soul, that refreshes it in the valley and refreshes it on the mountaintop. It is he and he alone that gives me hope beyond the situations. You know, if I put my hope in just, it's called a full room or not full room, whatever you want to call it, then I'm going to get let down. I'm crystal clear. If I put my hope in this little lady sitting over here, her name's Kim Neesmith, she's my wife. If I put my hope in that, I will be let down. If you put your hope in me, you will be let down. See, the reason so many people get let down by so many other people is because their hope isn't directed in the right thing, in the right person. And his name is Jesus. Understand, people are fallible. They will screw up. They are jacked up. They are sinners. You are a sinner. This world is broken. However, my hope is not in this world. My hope is in God is going to make all things new through Christ Jesus. So this Easter weekend, we're going to title Easter weekend, All Things New. Leave today with a sense of awe and wonder of who Jesus is. And in case you forgot, go and open up your scripture and begin to look in it at what he's done for you. And when you go to work Monday morning, go to school Monday morning, live with a sense of awe and wonder. And have some of those invite cards ready. Because people's going to say, Titus, how you getting through today? And Titus, you need to pull one of those invite cards out. And you say, why don't you come with me, meet me at Valorous Church. On Easter. And I'll show you how I'm getting through the day. Miss Joanne, she's right over here on the second row. How old are you now, Miss Joanne? 86. She can't hear good. But she's a matriarch in this church. When this church started in a living room, her and her husband, Bob, they sit in our living room, one of the first 12 in our living room. But can I tell you something? When you get around this lady right over here, though her husband's been sick for many, many years with Alzheimer's, dementia, kind of mental, he passed on a couple weeks ago, and we did his funeral. But can I tell you something? She's sitting there today, her heart's saddened, but she lives with a sense of awe and wonder because she knows the resurrection of Jesus and she knows God is making all things new. Come on, somebody. And my guarantee is this, if you give her a hug, she's gonna encourage you. Even though she lost a husband that she was attached to for 60 years. Come on, somebody. She knows that nothing is lost in what God is going to do. The good things that God has created will be made new. Come on, somebody. And so she's got hope. She's got hope beyond the situation. She's got hope beyond this week. She's got hope beyond the circumstance. And it's all because of the resurrection of Jesus. My friends, let's be this kind of church. Let's be the kind of church that bust open the alabaster jar. Give what it takes, when it takes, where it takes in order to make a difference, to announce who Jesus is. It's gonna be awesome. Grab some of those invite cards on the way out today. Encourage your neighbors, your friends, and even, hey Mike, even those people who don't like you. Go ahead and tell them to come on out for Resurrection Weekend. It's going to be a blast. Church, it starts with us on Good Friday, 6:30 p.m. Go share with your boss. You need early off on Friday. Tell them it's a holiday. And bring you and your family out. It's going to be incredible. Let me pray for you. God, you're an amazing God. Thank you for every man, woman, boy, and girl in this place today, online. God, as we move in to Resurrection Weekend, I pray, God, we would have faith in a resurrected Jesus, one who is going to return for his family, one who is going to make a new heaven and a new earth. God, one who is going to merge it all together, one who is going to dwell with us. God, I pray today our hope would be in him. And as we go out into this world, God, that somehow, some way, we would press through the challenges and the problems and the circumstances. And God, we would show that our broken heart has been mended by you, and we realize that you're shaping things up. And God, as we talk about all things new next weekend through the resurrection of Christ, that many would come to know who you are and step into your family. God, we pray for our friends, our neighbors, loved ones, God, those who we have conflict with. God, you would work through your church next weekend, through Valorous Church, but through the church at large around the world. It's an opportunity. May we seize the moment. God, if there is one here today that doesn't know who you are, God, I pray today would be the day of their salvation. They put their faith in the finished work of Jesus on a cross, his resurrection, and that he is going to return for them. And God, if a person needs to pray that prayer today, I just pray that they would pray it in the quietness of their seat, and they would say, Jesus, I receive the forgiveness today. Receive forgiveness of my sin that you offered on a cross. I believe in the power of your resurrection, and I confess with my mouth today that I need you, God. My friend, if you said that prayer by faith and you believed in the finished work of Christ on a cross, I invite you to step into it. God's getting ready to do something miraculous in your life. Let somebody know about your decision today before you leave. And God, we thank you that we get to do what we get to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.